are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna do?
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe. It simply means, so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Welcome, family. Hotep. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. Do all the things you must do. I hope you had a chance, a good weekend, that you got a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But I know it was hot out there. Woo! And it's going to be hotter this weekend here in the South, here in the dirty South, and in the West. But if you don't have to, stay indoors. It's the coronavirus is it is ravishing the South. It is ravishing here in Georgia, in Florida, in Texas, in California, in Arizona. And to me, there should not be any talk of opening up anything. The talk is now is how can we get back to what we should have done back in March? How can we stem this tide that is constantly rising? Yes, there hasn't been a lot of death, but there are going to be. In the next week or two, you see the death totals rise. Probably before the election in November, there might be over 200,000 people who would have died from coronavirus. Yes, I've seen all kind of stuff on coronavirus. 5G, the engineering of the virus in America, maybe Fort Detrick, Maryland, where they created the AIDS virus. Yeah, that's right, Fauci. The AIDS virus was created. I don't give a damn what they say. And then, of course, how the virus spread. And the fact is, I know people who have died. So we can talk about the conspiracies and all the other issues later. Later. Right now, what is most important, what is adamantly important, is how do I stay safe? How do I stay well? Obviously, the number one thing is boost your immune system. Right now, the sun is shining. It's a beautiful day. It's not as hot right now. Go outside and get at least 15 minutes of vitamin D and take vitamin D. Drink. There's a number of things people are saying to do. In fact, let me try to find that sister. Because I kind of like that sister. She was really nice looking sister. And she was talking about, she was talking about how you can continue to stay safe. And that's what we need to do. That's what we need to listen to. Staying safe. Because all the other stuff is bogus. You know what I'm saying? It's bogus. Shoot. Here you go.
Tonight. And it's from Northwestern Doctors. And what it's about is saying that the Chinese now have a better understanding about the behavior of COVID-19, this virus. And so I'm going to read it. And as I read it, I just ask that you share it out because I feel it's very important. And I'm sure that it's going to help someone. So it says the Chinese now understand the behavior of this COVID-19 virus. And they've come to understand it through autopsies that they've done. It says the virus is characterized by thick mucus obstructing respiratory pathways that solidifies and blocks airways and lungs. In order to apply medicine and for treatment to work, you need to open the airways. That can take several days. Hence why those with underlying respiratory medical conditions and elders are at high risk of complications. So now, recommendations to safeguard yourselves are as follows. And I'm going to read them one by one. Number one says, drink lots of hot liquids, coffee, tea, soups, and warm water. Number two, take a sip of warm water every 20 minutes. This keeps your mouth moist and washes away any of the virus that has entered your mouth and pushes it into your stomach, where the gastric juices will neutralize it before it can get to the lungs. Number three, gargle with an antiseptic in warm water, such as salt, vinegar, or lemon juice every day if possible. Number four, the virus attaches itself to hair and clothes. Any detergent or soap kills it. Take a shower immediately when coming from outside and shampoo your hair. I think that's very, very important to take note of. Many of us still have to go out. We still have to work. And some of us may take for granted how easily this virus is spread. So I'm going to read number four again. It says the virus attaches itself to hair and clothes. Any detergent or soap kills it. Take a shower immediately when coming from outside and shampoo your hair. Number five, wash metallic surfaces. The virus can remain viable on this surface for up to 9 days. When not in your home, wear gloves if possible to avoid touching handrails, doorknobs, and etc. If you can't wear gloves or don't have any, wash your hands immediately and then shower. Number six, if you've gone outside, wash your hands every 20 minutes with soap that foams and do it for 20 seconds. Number seven, eat fruits and vegetables. Try to elevate your zinc levels. Number eight, animals do not spread the virus to people. It's person-to-person transmission. That's one that's very important to me. We have a family pet, and so I was very concerned about that. So to know that animals do not spread the virus to people, but that it's person-to-person transmission, is actually something that I'm very happy to know. Number nine, try to avoid eating and drinking too many cold things. Number 10, if you feel a sore throat coming on, gargle with antiseptic immediately. Do it every hour. The virus enters through the throat, where it remains for 3 to 4 days before it passes to the lungs. So that's the information that I received as of late last night. I am hoping that this information helps you out tremendously. And again, I ask that you just hit the share button and pass it on to.
And I would agree, pass that information on. That information needs to be passed on. It's just very simple. It's not political. It's what we can do to protect ourselves. People are dying. I know people who have died. I have friends who have died. A man who was very dear to me, a good friend, Dr. Conrad Wuerl of the National Black United Front. In fact, the National Black United Front had a Zoom meeting this weekend, and they paid tribute to him. A good man. So, you know, all the other things aside, we'll deal with that later. But right now, the United States and Brazil are the two countries that have the most coronavirus cases and coming upon the most death. Well, the United States is going to have the most death. That's for damn sure. The common denominator between Brazil and United States, they're both led by a fascist idiot. So, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top, you'll see podcasts. Click on that, and then the drop-down will say African Perspectives. Click on that, and there you are with the programs that are dated and titled. So I hope you get a chance to do that if you wish. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, once again, this program, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give her Eastern times. This evening, Monday, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming with Brother Wahad from 6 to 8, followed by Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. Tuesday, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. It's going to be a very good program, Dr. Kambona, Sister it's going to have a very important program on for Dr. William Rogers tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to it, and you should too. So check out 8 o'clock tomorrow evening, the Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. In fact, Thursday, I have a Thursday program, Black Reality Think Tank Thursday program with millennials. I don't know what the name of the program is, but talked about the young people who are in control of the program. And then, of course, Friday. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters. It is time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. on Friday. Saturday, Black Reality Think Tank, weekend edition from 4 to 6, followed by the Sankofa Elders Circle, the Sankofa Elders Council with Brother Alfonso Watkins. I didn't get a chance to hear. I couldn't call in. I don't know what happened. I'll talk to Doc about that. That's on Saturday. And if it's Sunday and it's 7 p.m., it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Sunday. And he talked about what we talked about the other day, and that is the European Jews' impact on our lives. Yep. How they can constantly make us apologize and bully us. And when somebody says something, Deshaun Jackson ain't no young, you know, ain't no old dude. Ain't no young dude. He's older. He's like about 30 years old. And of course, Steven Jackson. And they both apologized. My words were, I'm going to say this, and I said it then. I said it last week. I ain't apologizing about a damn thing. I ain't apologizing about nothing. Particularly as it relates to European Jews. I ain't apologizing about it. And I'm not singling European Jews out. I'm singling out Europeans, period. Period. I ain't apologizing about nothing. Because they have done what they've done. And they are continuing to do it. Our responsibility is to get out of it. And they're not going to stop doing what they're doing. So that's our responsibility. They put us in this mess. And they want us to stay. The objective for us is to get out. And the only way to do that is to come together. Pan-Africanism or perish. Unify or die. That is it. Okay, where was I? Ah, okay. Once again, we have our calling number. It's 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brother Bomani Tahima has been taking our people to the motherland for many years, a little over 1,000. And you can give him a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. He has trips still up on his website. You can go to his website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, and check it out for yourself. He still has a trip to South Africa, November 20th through the 30th, for $3,700. Then he has a trip to Ghana, December 24th to January 5th, 2021, for $3,700. That may change, particularly if this situation does not start to get better in the next few months. I venture to say, if we are in October where we are right now, or just starting to, if this doesn't drop precipitously, ooh, I got that word out. Then I'm gonna tell you, it ain't happening. It's not happening. Because not only that, nobody's going to want Americans to come to their country. They don't know. If you do go, you might be quarantined for a couple of weeks. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to see videos, go to youtube.com/Bomani. If you want to see pictures, go to facebook.com/Bomani. Renoko Rashidi, he has rescheduled his programs, the one he had for Uganda and Rwanda. That's going to be January 21st to February 4th, 2021. And then the one for Kemet is going to be August 1st to August 14th, 2021. So it's a ways away, well over a year. So going to Kemet. So check out Brother Renoko, Dr. Renoko Rashidi. Go to his website, drrenoko.com, drrenoko.com. HabashahIncorporated.org, HabashahIncorporated.org. Brothers and sisters, they are doing the work. Just like the Ledge program we presented to you this past Friday, doing the work on the continent, they're doing the work as well. In fact, I'm going to start mentioning Ledge when I mention them, because these are two prime organizations that are on the ground, building, making things happen, sustainable agriculture. Ledge on a larger scale. They have multiple projects. And so I'll be talking more about the Ledge group as well. I'd like to join them because I think, along with all the others, there are possibilities for us as African people. You can have a possibility of getting land. A number of things could happen. So, no need to mention Shrine of the Black Madonna, is it? Because they're going to be closed for a while. Man, this is crazy. This is so crazy, you know. And I really love the Habashah Incorporated, the Kashi Project, and all those things that they do. Love them for it. And I will continue to promote them. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, the Medu Bookstore, Mama Nia, the Medu Bookstore, give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263 for a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, all kind of good stuff. If she doesn't have what you want, believe me, she'll get it for you. And the number, again, is 404-346-3263 in the Greenbrier Mall. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. My good brother, Gazemde Ajamu, he also has a coffee bar now. Check it out, coffees and teas and stuff like that. So it's always good at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. And then Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located right here in Atlanta's West End. And right on Ralph David Abernathy, across the street from Soul Veg, down the street from the West End Mall, and of course, Shrine of the Black Madonna, all in that same location. Not only do they have that, they have products from We Buy Black. They have the laundry detergent, all kinds of other products from We Buy Black, as well as Afroletics. And there's other vendors at Wadada's as well, but delicious juices and smoothies and all kind of good stuff, pastries. So Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar in the West End. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa. Every Thursday night, the Thursday night broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us. And, of course, the program is called Dare to Win. It's every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Eastern every Thursday night. If you don't want to go online to do it, you can call. To make a call, you can call to listen or to make comments at 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, to Economic Development Cooperative for Our People, in the spirit of Ujamaa, cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Sanjay-Haiti.org. My good sister, Gabrielle Aurelia, in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. She is doing outstanding work. Go online to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E-Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org. Sanjay-Haiti. And if you move, if you do so, please make a contribution, make a donation, make a consistent donation, whatever, whatever's on your mind. Akabin Institute, Akabin Institute, P.O. Box. Make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute to help support Baba Baruti and Sister Ya Baruti in educating our young warriors. P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. And you can also use Cash App and PayPal, $Ya, the letter M, Baruti, B-R-U-T-I, to make your donations in that way. I'm going to talk about the sixth annual Complementarity Conference because that's what we're going to talk about today. Yes, that's right. That's what we're going to talk about today, complementarity, how important it is that we as African men and women come together. We need each other. We do. We need each other. You know it. I know it. We need each other. The Enye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Enye Sesim. July 12th. A person who does not realize he or she is lost is not looking for a way home. Wally Wu Sanjay. This cannot be the only reality because we know of others which thrive before it. We know of times when science was a finely tuned divine instrument and not a God-fearing weapon wielded by pale predatory politics. There were times when people did not glorify property over life or conspire to murder each other over material possessions. So, through deliberate study, we can still vicariously view these ages when ranked did not arrogantly define character or license tyranny, when a person's station in life was determined by her or his heart, talents, and desire, and not his or her ascribed privilege or deceit. Though now somewhat clouded, we can remember when good character was inevitable. Not because of its rarity, but because of its presence everywhere we were. So how do we get back to that way we know once governed humanity without sacrificing the future? We can move African people and then humanity away from defining an abnormal as normal and the normal as abnormal. It is even possible for mere humans to perform such a Sankofian task. It is even possible, yes it is, to humans perform a Sankofian task. We think so, but only if we were mere humans are fully reconnected with spirit. And if we remain consistently aware of the nature of the beast that must die if we are to live. Affirm, I am not lost because I have found my way back home. Affirm, I am not lost because I have found my way back home. Ashe. July 13th. Those who seek temporary security rather than basic liberty deserve neither. Queen Mother Moore. Queen Mother Audley Moore. People sense it. They can feel it in the air, even though most cannot identify it or touch it. They know something is wrong, has been wrong, terribly wrong. But whatever it is, it has run its course. It has returned home, for it is nowhere else to go. It can no longer hide behind blinding and blaming others. It is afraid. And its fear reacts with terror against anyone or anything within its reach. Truth always surfaces. Truth always resurfaces. It cannot be hidden, or African warrior scholars could not know what we know. But to set us free from this terror, it must be acted upon. It must correctly be dealt with, finally and forever. We must become the force of correction, or our enslavement becomes more sophisticated and indefinite. Captors learn from and correct those mistakes that in the past threatened their reality with revolution from below. Embracing the wisdom of those who have earned the right to be called elders and ancestors, we must walk their path if we are to eliminate this chaos from humanity. In this quest, African warrior scholars must know we owe our people answer only to the universe and can no longer allow Europeans to spread their destructive confusion. Of this, there can be no doubt. Affirm, I am a force for correction. Affirm, I am a force for correction. The Inye Sesim of daily revolutionary thought. Yeah. I know what I wanted to do today. I wanted to, because I had a piece on the Grandmaster Jay of the NFAC. And of course, you know, the NAFC is the Not Fucking Around Coalition, the NFAC. Now, I talked to a brother this past weekend who had some issues about what happened on July 4th up in Stone Mountain. And I understood what the brother was saying, you know, because it was a surprise to a lot of our people and a lot of our good conscious people in our community, particularly some elders. And they had concerns about what happens doing that, what if it, you know, just started going crazy like that. And that was always a possibility. But what they were there for is to, if they, just like the brother said, if you shooting us at 4 p.m., we shooting you at 4:05. We are fighting back. Now, what, remember I mentioned this last week, I don't like the brothers and sisters who had T-shirts or slogans that says, we are not our ancestors, because we are our ancestors. Because we fought. We have always resisted. We have always fought. So don't, you know, I wish we wouldn't do that. And I would hope if I see something like that, I'm going to try to correct it. But my bottom line is that we must fight and we must protect ourselves against an enemy, an open sworn enemy. That's why I maintain that we cannot, I repeat, we cannot change this system for the benefit of us and any and everybody else. This system will always favor Caucasians because it is theirs and it was created and built for their prosperity. I know what it says. We know the lies that it perpetuates. But to me, what one says is different than what one does. Because you can see what it does. I don't give a damn what the society says. I see what it has done. I see the divisions it has made, how we become fractionalized as a people. And thinking that this too is ours and we have right. This is ours. This is just as much ours as it is theirs. And I disagree. But of course, there are many of our people, I would say a vast majority of our people, who believe that. Because the vast majority of our people, unfortunately, have become or believe in the disconnect. There are some of our people who believe that we are a different people, that we are not African because of what happened to us and the generations of miscegenation and all of that kind of stuff, that somehow we are different. We are not African. We're black. And being black, yeah, there's some discrimination every now and then, but, you know, it's not that bad, you know. And if you got education and if you got talents, you know, I don't give a damn about a few individuals who achieve in this madness. I could care less. I could care less about the people they prop up. I could care less about the athletes, the entertainers, all of that. I advocate us living our lives from our perspective. That's what I advocate. We cannot do it here. This is not ours. It is theirs. There's always been that, and it always will be that, illusion of inclusion. Until we come to grips with that reality. And I don't believe that we will collectively. The way I'm feeling right now, my contention is that those we educate, put it out there, those who want to come, let's go. We need to be over in Africa to change the dynamics there. That is more important than seeking so-called justice here that you're not going to get. Because one thing for sure, I don't give a damn how many names they change, like they already agreed to change the Washington team's name. I don't care how many flags they pull down, statues they tear down or take down and put them whatever. All of that, as far as I'm concerned, is symbolism without substance, because the real substance is the economic inequality that this society has garnered over these many years. And they ain't gonna do a damn thing about that. One thing for sure that they mentioned during all of this madness, if you might not have saw it, but I sure did. They're still against reparations. We can go through all these other stuff, but we are against reparations. We don't want to correct the economic inequality that is so deep in this country. American Africans make 60% less than Caucasians. African wealth is just 10% of what Caucasians is on average. Caucasians on average, 117,000. 117,000. American Africans, 17,000. That's why it is said that if there was going to be equality, that would mean Caucasians' incomes, money to them would be froze. And then it would be 2.5 incrementally. We would get incremental increases, and it would take 230 years. It would take 230 years for us to reach real equality. This is crazy. That's why I'm saying to you, they're not going to disrupt that. They're going to have the jobs. They're going to have the industry, the businesses, and so forth. This is theirs, not ours. And even though there might be an individual here or there, it might be a company here or there, the dominance of this society will always be in their control. Unless there's some divine intervention. And I know there's a number of our people who pray and hope and wish and you know, for divine intervention, you know. I can't see it if you're praying to Jesus, because that's not our God. But that's the majority of our people pray to Jesus, you know, who are Christian, you know. Although, you know, I'm with a lot of my other ancestors and scholars and elders, you know, who always say, if they did this to you, and then they gave you a religion, you think they would give you a good religion that was something that would save your soul? Why didn't they say, you know, you think the oppressor of what he, all that he has done, is now going to give you something? Oh, how foolish we are. And I know there's many of us, you know, Africa is the furthest thing from our minds. Our minds are set on trying our best to make this work for us with them. Help us make them understand that we're human like they are, and we should share in this equally. You know, brothers and sisters, it'll never happen. It will never happen. I know, Brother Oshie, you pessimistic man, you anti this. Let me say what I am. I'm a Pan-Africanist. I fell in love with Africa many, many, many years ago. And I began to read our scholars, our historians. To me, what they said made sense as it relates to the problems that we are confronted with in this country and what we should do about it. It also made sense in respect to the continent itself and the wealth of the continent. I didn't play Africa, It's Your Time Now last week. I'm going to play it this week, maybe Wednesday, because that's a good piece, because it lets us know all the things that are available, all the things that are possible, all the things that we have and could have control of as African people. And I know, and you know, the divisions that have been sold by the Europeans. That's what they do, divide and conquer. Turn each other against each other. Why do you think the death rate amongst African people? Yes, we definitely should take to the streets when the authorities kill us, because particularly the police, because they're supposed to be, you know, but once we know who the police really are, what they're really doing, you can see, you know, but no. They sowed these seeds of discourse amongst us with the intent of us killing us. That's why if I went out right now and killed somebody, I wouldn't get no serious sentence. Depending on who it was, they might throw me a party. But on the real, I don't think there's ever, it could be, I don't know everything, of course I don't, but a common American African person killing another common American African person. And just for the sake of this, that state did not have the death penalty. Or the state did have the death penalty. Do you think that person would get death? Now, if he killed a Caucasian, or if he killed law enforcement, that person will get death. No doubt about it. Hell, if it's like Milwaukee and you a criminal that they definitely want to get rid of because they don't have the death penalty. Because they got rid of Jeffrey Dahmer and this Caucasian named Jesse Anderson the same day. Wisconsin doesn't have the death penalty. But the authorities looked the other way and allowed a brother named Christopher Scarver, who is in prison for life, to kill both of them on the same day. What a coincidence. Of course, we know who Jeffrey Dahmer is and what he has done. Jesse Anderson is just another one of the people who kill somebody and, you know, blame it on us. He killed his wife and blamed it on us. They had two cats to confess. They made two guys confess until a week or so later, through proper investigation, Jesse Anderson was found to be the person who killed his wife at a shopping mall parking lot right in front of TGIF's. So I'm saying, you know, before I get into complementarity, we're definitely going to talk about that because that is my subject for today and the complementarity conference that is coming up this weekend. And we'll talk all about that. I'm going to get a couple of people on the phone here. 646-646, good morning.
Yeah, Oshie, I was just listening to the show right
okay.
quick. What were you discussing?
Well, I was discussing just for that moment, you know, the importance for us not to be so hung up in this damn society and what we have to do and how this society and how Europeans, there's nothing. I mean, we're so far behind economically. There is no way that we could ever even possibly remotely think that there could be economic equality, because the inequality is so pervasive and so systemic. We only make 60% of what Caucasians make. In terms of wealth, they have 10 times more wealth on average. The average Caucasian has 10 times more wealth. When you all average it out, they have 117,000, 117,000. We have 17,000. You see, so
well they have. Well, the problem with most of us is we don't understand, nor do we recognize that this is a white man's country, and that the white man's agenda is to keep control of this country and to use the other ethnic citizens of this country to build their wealth like they always have. So they're never going to make you equal. They're never going to deal with you on fair terms. So the bottom line is you're always going to be at the bottom economically. The unfortunate thing is that we as a people have not put ourselves in a place of looking for our independence and sovereignty. We're trying to incorporate ourselves constantly within white people's society and structure. And as long as you continue to do that, you're just going to get effed over, used and abused, raped, murdered, and all sorts of things. But you will always feel as though, because some are making progress, that you have a chance and an opportunity to do the same. And I'm saying that's bull sugar honey ice tea.
You got it right there, brother.
it's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You'll never be equal in America on no level whatsoever with the white man. I don't give a damn how much money you have. I don't care what you perceive to your stature to be. I don't care what type of power you may have. I don't care what level of excellence you receive. You still gonna be seen as a nigga. And I'll give you a perfect example of someone who one would say has reached the ultimate goal of being part of this society, but still a nigga when it's all said and done, and that would be Vernon Jordan. And Vernon Jordan
of the Urban League.
Yeah, Vernon Jordan. No, let me okay. say this to you.
Go ahead.
Vernon Jordan, at one time when Bill Clinton was the president, was probably the most powerful and influential black man in this country. Vernon Jordan was moving within circles that only the master elite can. Well, you have people like Robert Smith, who's supposed to be one of the richest black men in America, couldn't move in the circles of Vernon Jordan.
Well, that's because, listen,
Vernon Jordan's a bad boy.
That's because the Urban League's function has been, since it was created a few years after the NAACP was created, it's a few years, both of them based out of New York at the time, NAACP 1909, I think, Urban League 1911, might be different, but I don't know, but very short time. But anyway, their whole function was get into corporate America. The person who was in charge or who was in head of the Urban League, whether it was Whitney Young, Vernon Jordan, Mark Morial, right now, their whole bottom line is to be in corporate America, try to get on them boards, try to make some difference in those arenas, in those corporations to benefit our people. That was the whole thing.
That's not true.
Okay.
That's not true. They never went about the business of making it better for black folks. They made it better for themselves and some of their friends, but collectively, they never did the necessary work to systemically change corporate America through those organizations. Don't let nobody fool you with
Jay,
that nonsense.
Jay, that's true, Jay. That's true. But what I'm saying by theory, by what they say, what they were supposed to do, the object of the Urban League, the object of the NAC. No, you're right. No, they didn't. But the bottom line is that whether you have somebody like a Vernon Jordan, whether you have a multimillionaire or a billionaire or two, it still does not change the overall conditions of American African people and our struggle in this situation.
But you have to have that, though. You have to have that in a society like this to give people something to wish and hope for. If you didn't have the Oprah Winfrey's and the rest of these Negro peen gatekeepers, then people would not work as hard to, as one would say, fulfill the American nightmare. Oh, dream. I'm sorry. Got it wrong.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the bottom line is you have to have
gatekeepers,
and you have to have people like that, because their sole job is to convince me and you that we have an opportunity and a chance to do the same thing and liberate ourselves.
Well, I don't know about liberate ourselves. You can financially benefit yourself here in this. I don't know about really being liberated. But the bottom line is that you're right. The society is not what it was hundreds of years ago when we were, I mean, even after our captivity was over, in terms of segregation, all the other madness that was going on with convict leasing and lynching and so forth. And then, of course, I mean, really, the only time we really started to fight back is the 60s. We didn't fight back coming off the planet. We didn't have the weaponry. We didn't have the togetherness. We didn't fight back after Reconstruction, when we had a taste of what it could be like if we also too could partake in this madness. We didn't fight back. You know, we didn't fight back at the turn of this past century, you know, but we migrated. We knew we had to, because we were just getting lynched left and right. Sometimes they would just kill us just out of fun. Just like they said what the word picnic is. I don't believe the word picnic is pick a nigga, but you see, because there's photographs.
It sounds about right. If
you think about it. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It really does. It really, but
man,
my...
man, I'm busy. I have to talk to you later.
All right, brother. Peace. You know.
Oh, yeah. Don't somebody that... Go ahead. What was you saying?
Oh, no. I was just saying, you know, we did not fight back throughout the 30s and the 40s. We migrated, we chilled out where we were, tried to get jobs, and sometimes we were strike breakers, and of course that would cause a lot of tension and so forth, particularly up here in the North, because of how they want to manipulate the companies want to manipulate that and manipulate the workforce. Then of course the 50s happened, and then African countries started gaining independence, and African people, African Americans, started exerting themselves, and then the 60s happened. Dr. King was eloquent, no doubt about it. But, you know, once the 60s started happening and they seen it wasn't going to happen the way we kept marching and talking about it, we hit the streets. We hit the streets.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is, think about this, Oshie. Let's be honest. Are we in a better position today than we were coming out of the 1950s and 60s?
Collectively. I mean, when you consider the massive wealth in this country, I would venture to say, for me personally, of course not. No, because we don't have our right minds. But if we look at it from a Negro perspective, one could argue, yes, we're making progress. We're still making progress. We had a black president. You know, we had some black people who are wealthy. You know, we have some black businesses. I don't know if we have a black corporation that is part of the Fortune 500. We may have one or two. I don't know. I don't give a damn. But, you know, so in that respect, many of our people would look at that as progress. I mean, when you look at some places where we would now live, you know? So they can argue that that is progress, you know? But see, what I look at is that we give up who we are for that. We cannot, they don't want us to be who we are. They detest us being who we are. They want us to be who they've tried to make us. And that is palatable for them. We can tolerate. But no, they ain't tolerating Africa. They ain't tolerating drums. They ain't tolerating different languages. They ain't tolerating the feeling of pride and sense of who we are. No. So are we better off? You know, some will say yes. I say no. What do you say?
Well, we ain't better off, bro. Some of us are, but collectively,
no,
as a people, we're worse off.
Yeah.
When we came out of slavery, then in the Jim Crow, and then moving forward, we had what one would call a semblance,
yeah,
of community. Now we have nothing.
Yeah.
We don't even feed ourselves. We don't even have communities to where as we're the dominant participants of anything. You know what I mean? I mean, you have other cultures that come into our community and build up their family,
yeah,
structure and build up,
yeah,
their community. Why is it that we can't do that? Because we're not looking to do that. We're not taking the examples of what the Mexicans are doing.
Hold on, Jay, I need to get to a break.
One thing, OC, it's real important.
Okay, go ahead.
We're not even doing, as indigenous black people who were enslaved here, what the Africans from the continent are doing in this country. I live in Harlem. The only sustainable essence of one would call a community in Harlem is being done by the Africans. That should say something.
Well, I understand that, Jay, and the problem, of course, for us, I know I want to get to a break because I want to get to the second half of the program talking about complementarity and the conference coming up this weekend with Baba Baruti and Sister Ya Baruti. But I would say is that is by design.
Come on the show this week?
No, unfortunately not. Fortunately not. They're pretty busy and preparing for it. It's going to be a big thing for this weekend and also too preparing to, they may not have school here in Atlanta, at least not right away, because of the virus,
whoa,
you know. And I know Trump wants to open up schools across the country, but you will not be able to open them up as bad as it is in these southern states.
Well, you're a fool if you send your kids to school. I'll be honest with you.
And I would agree.
But we can, Oshi, take your break, okay, and we'll wrap on the other side. Put me on mute.
All right, okay, brother. Hotep. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us. Peace.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
About, baby, dreaming. me last night like a man that has something to prove. I dream about me a jet black babe, cause I think of my life like that. Sugar, keeping my love on track, baby.
on a rocket fly. Keep them loving till we touch the sky.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. The other programs we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Monday evening, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8, followed by Conversation Reparations. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. Tomorrow, he's going to have on Sister Cambone. She is a former president of the Association of Black Psychologists, and that's going to be a very interesting conversation tomorrow night, 8 p.m., right here on Time for an Awakening Media. On Thursday, Black Reality Think Tank, the Millennials, have their conversation on Thursdays. And then on Friday, if it's 8 p.m. Friday, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays, 8 p.m. Saturdays, two programs with Black Reality Think Tank, the Weekend Edition, and the Sankofa Elders Council. They start at 4, from 4 to 6, and then 6 to 8. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And every Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., the Warren Ballantyne Show, right here on Time for an Awakening Media. The number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're going to focus this last part of the program on complementarity, on us developing relationships that we so desperately need. Brothers and sisters, we need each other. It is imperative that African men and African women here in America, everywhere else on the continent, everywhere else in the diaspora, we need to be together. And I know that a lot of our men, because of what has happened to us mentally, emotionally, and psychologically, and physically, spiritually, we want everybody woman but our own, Chinese, Caucasians for sure, but we need each other. And so the Complementarity Conference is this weekend, this Saturday. Please join for the 6th Annual Complementarity Conference, which will be live stream only on Saturday 18th from 4 p.m. to 6. I think it's 4 p.m. to 8, rather, excuse me. And this has been an important conference. The bottom line is here you go to register for this conference. Make your $10 donation. This is the main fundraiser for the Akabin Institute. is the sixth annual Complementarity Conference. It's a major fundraiser. So now the $10 donation, $5 for any teens. And if you want to use PayPal, the PayPal account is Yah Baruti, Yah, Y-A-A-B-A-R-U-T-I, at Yahoo, if you want to use PayPal. Or if you want to use Cash App, the $ Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. And this is the information you must include. Your name. Make sure you put down this the Complementarity Conference. Your name, and then, of course, your email address so they can send you the link. I've done that. I'm signed up. I'm ready to go. I'm anxious to see what's going to happen. You know, hear all the good things. If you just want to make a donation, send your donation via PayPal, once again, to Yah Baruti at Yahoo. Or if you want to use Cash App, $ Yah M Baruti to make your donation, your name, and your email address so we can thank you. And believe me, they do. I send money out to a number of people trying to help, man, just trying to help. The only one I get back is Sister Yah. She always thanks me for whatever. I mean, the donations, they are what they are. You know, I would love to give a generous donation. But I'm giving here and giving there and giving there, you know. And so, but they always send me back something. So, Madasi P, Bibi Fahodie. But we're going to talk about, you know, the conference that's going to be coming up. This is going to be a very serious conference this weekend. And there's a nice piece. I don't know if you, when you're online on Facebook, if you do get information from Akabin Institute or from the Barutis, beautiful. They've been showing different collages of compliments of brothers and sisters, old, young, and so forth, famous, not so famous, and you know, just being with each other, smiling, holding hands, or hugging, or just being real, you know. Yeah. And so, Building African Love, the sixth annual Complementarity Conference, Saturday, July 18th, from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. online. There'll be lectures, breakout sessions, and so forth. Here are some little narratives that Baba Baruti has written on complementarity. Word complements need to establish their own personal celebrations of each other no less than once weekly. Time needs to be set aside for only the two of you so you can solely focus on each other. Relationships require attention, constant, meticulous attention, and this attention cannot be adequately given if every second of our lives is consumed by our other frontline work. It must be a time when complements give their energy to their interpersonal healing and growth. I say. Because they need to understand and talk. They need to understand how important it is that they stay, find ways to make sure they stay together. But they also have to do what they do individually. That's important too. And it's important that that is supported by each other. Certainly, complementarity is difficult. It wouldn't be worth the weight of the melanin involved if it wasn't. The problem is that most of us cannot imagine the strength that it engenders. Moreover, the depth and pervasiveness of our institutionalized mental side keeps far too many of us from seeing that our enemies systematically work to undermine our strength in a way that leaves them blameless. And without this understanding, we cannot grasp the magnitude of the fact that our complementarity relationships are one of our greatest individual and collective powers. I say, it is. That is our power. Why do you think the family structure here in America for African people is so fragmented deeply? Why do you think, and you know, I always say if there's a social ill in a society, If there's a social ill in society, it is more profound in us than anybody else. You name the social ill. And you can see that statistically, you know, we're way represented beyond our numbers. Way represented, of course, in terms of what happens with this COVID-19, ain't we? Exactly. Any social ill. So when you talk about relationships, ours are the most fragmented. And so that's why it's important that we begin to understand one another. We also must understand, too, that we must not follow the dictates of this society as it relates to relationships and matrimony and marriage and complementarity. Because believe me, they are not the ones. They are not the ones to be looked at and to be modeled. They are not. But it's extremely difficult. But we don't have good community life. The community life that we are experiencing is in some cities, it is dangerous. Because we don't have good family life. That's why we don't have good community life. You know, the conditions are bad. The conduct towards each other is bad. That's why we need to change these dynamics. That's why we need brothers and sisters who will explain and tell us how best to relate to one another outside of what the Europeans have dictated. But it's hard for us to do it here. Yes, there are some communities that are individuals that are doing it and are beautiful. Since I've moved here and connected with the conscious community here in the city of Atlanta, I have met some beautiful couples, some beautiful families, some beautiful individuals, no doubt. I've seen it back in Milwaukee and other places I've been. I've been blessed and fortunate enough to go to many, many places. But the reality is, in this society, in this environment, it is not conducive to family life. America perpetuates individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. It's hard to structure a loving, nurturing relationship in that kind of environment. It don't work for them. But our divorce rate is around 70%. 70%. Children being born without the presence of a father is 70%. Apologizing is one of the most healing acts that one can commit within a relationship. A complementarity relationship should be a place where forgiveness is given and received time and time and time again. It is a vital tool of subconscious psychological and emotional communications and a critical ingredient in the couple's glue, didactic glue. Apologizing should never be misinterpreted as taking anything away from the one giving it or providing advantage to the one who receives it. At times, it will be difficult to apologize for hurting your compliment, but we have to come out of our egos if we want to earnestly and lovingly build with this person who has feelings. If keeping the relationship is a priority, our ego should not be guided by either arrogance or how we feel about the other person's record of committing acts which we believe deserve apologies, but none were ever forthcoming. This is not to say that such a record is not worthy of conversation. It is only to say that it should not be the basis for our decision as to whether or not to apologize. Didactic is the objective form of the word dia, which means socially. It refers to a group comprised of two people. And those two people who have an understanding and a commitment towards each other. Yes, it's always, you know, I used to work with young people back in Milwaukee. On my off days at the fire department, I would go to schools and talk with young people. And I used to tell them that, you know, Forrest Gump said life is like a box of chocolates, right? Yeah, no. Life ain't like no damn box of chocolates. Life is like a roller coaster with a series of ups and downs for everybody. A series of ups and downs. When everything is on the up, everything is good. Everything is beautiful. You and your compliment are doing well. That's on the up. But when it's going down, when things aren't doing well, there's issues of money. There's other personal issues. So how you handle the downs in your life determines how successful you'll be. And everybody faces these ups and downs, whether you have money, whether you don't have money, whether you Caucasian, African, indigenous, whatever you are, everybody faces these ups and downs. That's why suicide is so prevalent. People couldn't handle those downs. Suicide, alcoholism, drug abuse. Because those downs can be very deep. Then of course, in this society, we give you drugs for those downs, and then many times you get hooked up on the drugs. But what's most important in terms of how you handle those downs is you keep yourself contained with a knowledge of who you are and deal with it, overcome it, and begin to be back on the up. And that's what we must have in terms of relationships with our sisters. Elijah Muhammad said, where you find some no good women is the result of some no good men. That's right, because men lead. Let's look at the history of the European coming in those caves. He has never embraced women. When you look at Africa, there was always a complementarity of women. Number one, it's a different situation, a different environment. That cold, harsh environment that he had, women had to acquiesce. They had to capitulate. They had to take that damn abuse. Because it's cold out there. It's dark out there. It's animals out there. So I'm going to just sit up back up in here and just take it. And that's what they've done historically, because that's how Europeans are. Selfish and greedy. But in Africa, where there was plenty, if he was saying some things that she didn't agree with, and it got so contentious, she could say, hey, well, listen, later for you, I'm taking the kids and I'm going down the road. There's a beautiful village down the road, and I got some relatives there. So bump you. You know? That was always that possibility. That's why the relationships were so strong. When the Greeks came in to study at the feet of African people, one thing that they could not understand or get a grasp on is the way women were viewed and treated in Kemetic society. As equals. Having prominence. That wasn't like that in Greek society. In fact, it is in Greek society where there's a pronouncement of homosexuality. They have pictures, they have statues, carvings of men with and pedophilia. That's like, I keep saying, that's why we should not use the word mentor. There's an African word for somebody who gives of themselves to nurture and educate and move young men and young women along, and that's a Jegna. J-E-J-N-A. Jegna. And the plural is Jegna. So instead of mentor, because who mentor was, he had Odysseus' son in Homer's Iliad, an Odyssey. Homer, when he went out to go and do what he's supposed to do, Odysseus do what he's supposed to do, rather, he gave his son over to mentor. And he sexually abused his son. So that's a word we shouldn't use. You know, I'm going to do a program real soon on words. I've been thinking about it. So I want to do a program on words. I did one a year or so ago, you know, not calling ourselves black and all this other kind of stuff. And, you know, and other words that are said. We need to do that, because what we need to do is change the verbiage. That's why I don't use the word slave. Because if I say the word slave, damn it, you be honest, you're going to put our face on it, because you've been conditioned to do so. So that's coming up. But these are the things that are important in terms of a complementarity. To have the right person you're working with, the right man, the right woman. In all interpersonal relationships, there is going to be conflict. This especially applies to physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual closeness of the complementarity ones. Like the universe, if our intimate relationships are to sustain themselves with order and balance, they must continuously embrace the struggle as a beneficial change agent. The ultimate truth is that there is no order or balance without struggle. And the deeper the struggle, the greater the order and balance. This speaks to the higher power of marriage. And it has giving the potential of being the greatest instiller of order and balance in the individual's lives of those involved. Number one, because from the legality standpoint, when you marry someone legally in society, now there is a legal responsibility. Now, if you and your complement are sincere about the relationship, one may argue, yeah, then y'all go ahead and get married. I maintain that if you are truly sincere about your relationship, maintain your relationship and continue to make it stronger by the sincere dedication and love that you have for each other, regardless of a piece of paper. Regardless if you had a African wedding or a European style wedding with in the church with all kinds of tuxedos and gowns. The bottom line is we're trying to make sure that we have men and women who have children, who raise children in a strong way, who make sure that those children are, you know, I mean, there's so many things bombarding us 24/7, 365. And the responsibility of that complement is to rear those children and to shield those children and to guide those children. Because if they allow this society to do it, if they allow TV to do it, they allow mass media to do it. Oh, my goodness. You see the results. You see the results. I mean, you've been in public places and you've seen how our children act. You see how a group of them talk. You see how they objectify young ladies, our young sisters. And you see how the young sisters act. Some of them dress in such a way that it invites this madness. You want to join this conversation? If you're online, there's a number of people online. Just dial, hit star twice, and you can get in on the conversation. Or if you want to hang up and call back, you can do that too. Whatever you want to do to join this conversation, please do so. We're talking about the importance of complementarity, the importance of building strong families within our community, importance of, now, I mean, you know, I can say this, although I've been married twice, but I could say this, I've tried to be a good man to any woman that I've ever been involved with. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But I know this, if you ask them, hey, they might be mad. I don't know. But if you ask them and they're honest, they would say that. Because I respect women. I truly respect African women. 646, good afternoon.
Yeah, Oshi, I was just tuning back in okay. to hear the rest okay. of what you were saying. How did things go with your analysis on the event that Baba Barudi's having this weekend? I know it's going to be a beautiful thing
yeah.
of African people coming together
yeah.
as, you know, one to move forward.
Right.
It's funny. I was just listening to this, well, watching and seeing what this Negro on Facebook was talking about, how we should be able to pick and choose whatever devil we wish
sure.
to marry. But
sure.
the thing is, most people don't understand marriage is a political and cultural statement. If you notice, most other races other than ours don't intermingle with their former master or oppressor in the form of marriage on a whole. And, you know, if we got to that point, then maybe we would be in a better position into, like we always go back to, trying to integrate with the oppressor.
Right.
There's no need, nor no wish, nor no desire to ever be involved with a pink-toed devil. It just don't interest me. It's never been something that interests me. Now, I'm not going to sit up here and lie and say that when I was young and naive, I didn't taste that devil fruit. I'm not gonna lie about it. It was probably one of the biggest mistakes I ever made in my life. Thank the sky daddy, I woke up and I saw the light. Because, you know, when you have a Negro like Clarence Thomas, who got him a sick, disgusting looking pink toe, you can see how it done degenerated his mind into his actions in the way that he thinks. I mean, to have to lay next to that type of evil every single day for the rest of your life, Sky Daddy, please, please forgive the man. Save the man. Do something. Because that's a hell of a burden to bear. To have to look at and be around that type of human filth on a constant and continuous basis and have the nerve to say that you love your pet that much, you know? But hey, that's just me being me.
Yeah.
I'm just going to look and appreciate and love black women. Oh, God have mercy. There's nothing like a black woman. Now, mind you, I enjoy the Latino African sister, nothing like a Dominican woman, nothing like any woman that has that strong melanin within her bones. And she understands, and remember, she understands and knows that she's an African woman. Hey, a pink toe can't do that for you.
Because she ain't an African woman.
I look
you're right.
forward.
She ain't an African woman. Thanks, Jay. 602, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshi.
Good afternoon, Marcus.
You know, when I was in high school, I went away to got a job at a summer camp, a Jewish summer camp. You know, because them Jewish people, they got summer camp for their kids, you know, they send their kids away for summer for 6 weeks. So, you know, we were the pot washers and, you know, stuff like that, the kitchen crew. So, you know, I got a little job there.
Yeah.
And while I was in Pennsylvania, there was a white girl there. And this white girl, she had money. You know, she had money. Her family had money, like 300 acres of land and stuff like that. And she kind of was fascinated with me. You know? Oh, you're from Jamaica? Oh, yeah. She said, oh, you speak the Queen's English, you know. But I told her, I said, look, At that time, I was just a teenager. But something in me told me that, look, I told her, look, you are white and I am black, and it ain't going to work. And you know, that thing devastated that white girl. What I told that white girl devastated her, because I guess she must have thought, like, well, this nigga think who he think he is going to reject me. You know what I'm saying? You know?
Right, right.
Yeah, I'm the Negro's dream. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, but you are so right. We need each other. African men and the African woman need each other. But this, brother, they have twisted it so much now. I see so much brothers now becoming transgender, having a sex change and turn it into women, you know.
Yes, I know. This is a bad society for us. It's a bad society for us in terms of African relationships, in terms of African familyhood. This is very bad when you have such pervasive homosexuality. I saw Charlize Theron on TV yesterday or day before, whatever. And she adopted two African children. And she turned those two young men into girls. And she mentioned, I have two girls. No, I turned away off after that. I mean, that was only a snippet of the part that I, you know, but she was talking about some kind of performance or something she had, and she said, I have two girls. No, man, she had two boys that she turned into girls. And just like right what's happening, you have parents who are feeding into this gender reassignment kind of madness. This is crazy. You know, that he or she can be, if they're 5 years old and they want to be a boy because I identify more with a boy and she's a girl, or vice versa. This is crazy.
This is a sick society, brother. And that's why I tell you, you are so correct. We can't correct ourselves in this society because it's sick. It's sick, and I just want to leave our people with this. Divine adjudication is a fallacy. Anyway, good brother, you take care and keep on keeping on watching. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Marcus. Divine is a fallacy. That's right. Lavish your compliment with praise. Remember, however, that praise should never be given just for praise for the sake of praise. Eventually, empty praise will become evident for what it is. And then, like a lie revealed, all praise will be questioned. Equally important, praise must be a direct reflection of the treatment. There should never be a contradiction between what one says about or to their compliment and how they treat them. There never should be a contradiction between what one says about or to their compliment, how they treat them. Words of praise should always be accompanied by acts of praise. Let me repeat that. Words of praise should always be accompanied by acts of praise. As they say, love is a verb, and every verbal expression of love should have a corresponding behavior. Ashe. You know, 404-573.
Good afternoon, family. Good afternoon, Baba.
Hey, Queen. How you doing? How are you?
I'm well.
That's
I'm
good.
Well.
Good.
Yes, I stay stable so far.
All right.
Yeah. So what I would like to say is that when you marry or chase outside of your inheritance, you have to give up some of that inheritance. Speaking specifically to the black and white intermingling situation. I've noticed when black men marry white women, they're no longer truly, you know, you can't eat your collard greens, you ain't eating cornbread, you ain't eating fried corn, you're not eating fried chicken. You know, you have to give up some of your black identity, which is evident. If you look at the black men who marry white women and black women who marry white men, you do have to give up some of your culture.
Well, the thing is, this is theirs. So when you marry them, you're marrying into what they have. It is theirs. They're not coming into your world. Now, that could be an argument. You could have some, I don't know, this is hypothetical as hell, just like I'm going to get you, sucker. You know, if, I don't know if you remember that movie.
I saw that.
Yeah, when he went to the brother's house and Clarence Williams III, he was married to a Caucasian, had these high yellow kids. They out there with dashikis on and so
with
forth.
With his African girl.
Yep, yep. But the truth is, when you marry Caucasian, you are marrying into their situation, not yours. It is theirs. You know, now let's say it this way. You marry into their situation, but she is shunned by her family, but it's still their environment. She may not have any connection with her family, you know, but it's still this environment, you see. So, I mean, you know.
Well, that's the environment that we have in, which was leading to my second point. In our marriages and our interactions with each other, Baba Baruti was saying how we should interact with each other, but a lot of us of younger times don't have that to identify with. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, we still have work to do to train and to teach our younger people what is an man, what is mm-hmm. an African man, what mm-hmm. is a woman, what is an African woman. So we still have to be jettas to our older men. I said it earlier that some of them have never been introduced to African manhood or manhood period, which we identify with.
Mm-hmm.
They have inculcated ourselves into this environment, which was really the only environment that we knew up until maybe 100 years ago.
So we
have to get out of this mindset, and we have to teach our people how to once again relate to their identity, their inheritance, and who they are, and African love.
Yeah, that's important. If we're to sustain ourselves as African people, you know, and it's not just here. It's the diaspora. It's the continent. You know, the Urugu virus has afflicted us globally. And that affliction has had terrible effects on our minds, the mental side of us, and how we relate to each other, you know?
Here and at home, and globally.
Yes.
It's a global infection, just as this evident pandemic
is
happening.
Exactly. You know.
So is the mental and spiritual and all aspects generally of life.
But if we're
have happened.
But if we're to raise African young men and women to be the future
and
for Africa.
Men. Let's not forget there's two generations between it's the generation Gen X and then Gen Y. And now the millennials, and a lot of the disconnect has happened between who we are, our generation, and the millennials. So let's not forget, because those brothers are the ones who are incarcerated, they experience violence, they perpetrate violence, alcoholism, drugs, guns, violence, all kinds of things on African women. And women have fallen as well. So we just cannot say, let's go back two generations, because we still have generations of people being raised up in between. So we have one, two, three generations, actually.
Right. And you're right. 60-some years. And the, you know, what we must understand is that this environment, European culture, is not conducive to relationships. European culture is not conducive to marriage. European culture is not conducive to family. If you have a society that perpetuates individualism, materialism, greed, and hell, 2 years ago, if you remember, Queen, those two young men tried to kill their parents so they could get an inheritance.
Which one? What color?
Where was it out? In DeKalb County, in Decatur, somewhere like that. It was an American-African family. They forgave them, but of course those two young men went to jail because they attempted to kill their parents.
Because that's
what it is.
African young men have already killed their mother.
Yes. So I'm saying is we live in a society that does not promote, does not perpetuate the idea of family.
That's why we must again step back into these generations behind us, whether they are 40 or 30 or 20 or 50, because they have that, this environment that we, this jungle that we live in. Excuse me, jungle. That's a natural environment.
Once again, I'm saying is that relationships globally for African people are not good. You know,
look at where we know they're not good. Even at home, you know, the relationship, they have indoctrinated themselves and accepted European values and European culture.
Right.
And even European identity. So we just got work to do, but we can't just start at, you know, 30 years from them, because we have this perpetual, this perpetual disconnect.
Let me say this. Yeah, let me say this. When you look at Black Lives Matter has an organization. I'm not talking about the saying. I'm not talking about all the stuff being painted on and T-shirts worn. The organization founded by those sisters, that organization, when you look at what they say, who they're about, and what they perpetuate or promote, it is not truly black lives. It is not truly family. It is not truly community that what we need. You know? They don't promote that. They tell you, we're promoting a homosexual. We're promoting we're against the hard patriarchal society of men, domineering men. You know, I'm saying is that this society, European society, has never been conducive to family life because, number one, they have never respected women. African society has always respected women. We're the first humans on the planet. Obviously, the first humans on the planet can't be homosexuals. Otherwise, there ain't gonna be no damn people on the damn planet. But we're the first humans on the planet.
That's not our orientation.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, on the continent, you will be banned or killed. They don't allow that.
Well, some a little bit more because of what Western society has done, and a lot of them have been influenced by that or persuaded by that. Just like when Barack went to Africa talking about, if you don't allow homosexuality, we ain't gonna give you no monetary aid. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm, yes. Or food aid.
Right.
All that nonsense.
Or what? Yes. So, you got to accept
this. But we have to get back to our, and we have to teach even the elders, because they're teaching the children and they're showing by example their young men or their sons and their daughters how to behave, how not to behave. Let me correct that. Mm-hmm. And also, yeah, do language, because when you speak a language, you identify with those images.
Right.
So thank you, Baba. I'll talk to you soon. Peace.
All right. Peace, Queen. Thank you. Now, you know, we only got a few more minutes, and I'm looking forward to the complimentary conference. I will talk about it next week, Monday, some of the things that were discussed and things that we can do. In order for us to be the kind of people we must be moving in this century, to be independent, to be self-determining, to be liberated, to be sovereign. We need family life. We need good complementarity life. We need the support of each other. We need children and children that are raised and nurtured and infused with knowledge of self by us. You know, there comes a time at certain instances in life that you come to a fork in a road or a crossroad, whatever you want to call it. You know, when we came upon that fork in the road or that crossroad back in the 50s and 60s, it would have been great if we'd have chose independence and self-determination, but we chose integration. We were conveniently steered in that direction, and it's been problematic. We've came to that fork a few other times, and unfortunately, we didn't have our right minds and didn't have the courage and the fortitude to forge our own way or to forge the African way. But what's become very clear to me from a global perspective, the continent of Africa must be in the hands and in control of Africans. Africans with wherewithal, Africans with skills and knowledge must repatriate. It ain't about money. It ain't about fame and fortune. It is about Africa taking its place among humans on this planet. Our rightful place. Not as pawns, but as players. So when they come to Africa and they want something, they pay fair market value for whatever that is. If they want some land in Africa, they will pay a good price for that land. If we choose to. If they want to deal with Africa, they have to come correct and they will be vetted. It has to be a new day for Africa, a new day for Africans, because if it's not, the way things are going, and you may not want to deal with, you may not think, Brother Oshie, that's crazy. That we would be eliminated, that we could be, oh yeah, really? Why do you think this virus is affecting us more than others? Why do you think a lot of things happen to us more than others? Why do you think that our population hasn't really grown? And when we're so young, why are we experiencing zero population growth? Why have we been 13% for the last damn near 10, 15 years? Because when one is born, one dies. And we stay that way. Well, of course, we know that Caucasians are experiencing negative population growth. For every two that die, only one is born. That's the issue. Our issue should be consistent population growth and strong. By that I mean the population that is being developed is mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually prepared. They ain't weak. Oh, man, time flies, you're having fun. Let me get this in once again. There are some books on complementarity by Baba Baruti. And there's A Warrior's Love, Complementarity Notes, and the book Complementarity. All can be purchased at Akabin House. Go to akabinhouse.com and you can purchase them that way. Once again, the conference is this weekend. And of course, you pay $10, send it to, make your $10 donation. If you want to use PayPal, just YAH, YAH, Baruti, at yahoo.com for PayPal. If you want to use Cash App, the dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Baruti, Baruti, for Cash App. Make sure you, in the notes section, put Complementarity Conference, your name, and your email address so they can send you the link for this Saturday's conference. Once again, it's going to be this Saturday from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. online. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. I'll see you on Wednesday. See you on Wednesday. You stay safe out there. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.